I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Bill Raggio of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. Keeps a long word journal. And John Hardy watches Ukraine for FTD and for us. And we've talked about the barrage against energy nodes, and we've talked about Pokrovsk. There's also talk of diplomacy. I don't put anything to it because diplomacy is one of those things that you actually have to see it happen to understand that it's real. Otherwise, it's just speculation. Even more than fog of war is fog of diplomacy. Bill, you have a question about Pokrovsk before we go to the magic of Lavrov and Rubio.
Yes, John, you mentioned that you described the Ukrainian defense in Pokrovsk as successful and mentioned Russian casualties. How about the Ukrainian side? On the Ukrainian side, haven't they poured an exorbitant amount of resources to defend the city? And haven't they taken significant losses in armor and personnel as well?
They've certainly made the defense of Pokrovsk a priority. You can see this in the mix of different units, some of their better units around this area. And I should note that back in August, when the Russians had kind of a tactical breakthrough to the northeast near Dobropetrovka, the Ukrainians also brought in some more of their better units to that area. And it actually kind of, or may have diverted some of the Ukrainian attention from Pokrovsk itself and helped the Russians kind of infiltrate into the city and get us to where we are now. I'd say that overall, if you look at the balance of losses and resources committed to this sector, it's been a favorable battle for Ukraine. I think they've destroyed much more in Russian combat power than they've lost. And there certainly have been Ukrainian losses, but I don't think they compare to the really enormous losses that the Russians have incurred with their kind of meat grinder approach to offensive operations.
According to who?
Yeah, obviously, I don't take Ukrainian numbers at face value. I think you can just see this very plainly when you look at open source evidence, when you look at what the Russians saying about their losses, when you look at like videos of just the enormous number of troops that get destroyed kind of in these infiltration attacks. I think, you know, in general, the defender usually suffers fewer losses than the attacker. That's just kind of
But the Russians have more to lose than the Ukrainians, do they not?
Yeah, they do. I'm not saying that Ukrainians are in a perfect spot here. What I'm saying is that in general, Pokrovsk has been a successful battle for them. And I would hate for them to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, so to speak, by allowing, you know, some number of troops to get encircled and destroyed in this agglomeration due to a kind of 11th hour withdrawal. And the orders for withdrawal coming too late has been a pattern that we've seen kind of throughout the war, Bakhmut, Kursk, Vlodar, others, where kind of the Russians form a pocket and Ukraine stays within the pocket probably too long. And, you know, so far they've managed to avert catastrophe each time, but sometimes the withdrawals aren't fully cohesive, or troops kind of take it upon themselves to withdraw before receiving orders to do so. That if you lose cohesion, or worse, if you end up getting encircled, you can suffer much more losses, obviously. So I would hope that Ukraine, especially when it's dealing with a shortage of manpower, would make force preservation a priority.
John, quickly, we have a minute. There's rumor of diplomacy that Lavrov wants to speak to Rubio. Can you confirm that in any fashion? The sources in Ukraine, do they think there's talk between Russia? Russia wants to talk. We have 30 seconds.
I think the Russians have made very clear they're not dropping their maximalist demands, mm-hmm. despite probably it being in their best interest to kind of strike a deal with Trump, given the fairly good deal that has been on offer from the Trump administration. Putin is really just doubling down and kind of souring his relationship with Trump. And then we've seen the new oil sanctions on Rosneft and Lukoil come as a result.
John Hardy, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Bill Raggio, FDD, keeping the long word journal where you can see John's reporting. John also reports on the FDD website.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.